Thank you for subscribing to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. With our vision for the year being stronger and stronger, we pray that this message strengthens and equips you for the work of the ministry that God has called you to. Let's join one of our pastors now.
Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. That's where our text will be found. I ended up being at a deer camp for a couple of days. Surprise, right? So anyway, I'm at deer camp, and we have a fire going outside. And I get back from deer camp. I get back from my deer stand, and we come back, and the wind had picked up. You know, if you noticed, it's been kind of windy. And I got back, and a fire that we had put out was in full blaze. And there's wind and there's leaves everywhere. And we're like, oh, this isn't good. It wasn't a time that we needed to be burning with the wind at the place that it was. And I started thinking about that when we put that out and waited for the wind die before we relit it. But I thought of a scripture, and I just really kind of spent some time meditating on it. Thought it'd be a good thing to share tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In certain scriptures, it says fan into flames. In certain scriptures, it says kindle anew, depending on which version you're reading. But as I was thinking about this, I just started thinking the stirring up, the kindling anew, the fanning into flames. I started thinking about that. And what happens when wind comes in to a fire that you thought was out? And it comes in, it's fuel, it's oxygen that it then reunites that fire to take it to a place that it wasn't. And you didn't intend for it to go there, but all of a sudden there was fuel. Now, there are a lot of times, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but someone's standing there with a fan, and they're just fanning that flame, trying to get it to go. I know that a lot of times when you're barbecuing, we've got any barbecuers out there, and you get your briquettes, and they get to a certain level, and there's not quite the gray that you need to barbecue yet, so you got to get that flame going again, and you're fanning and you're fanning. I was reading this scripture, and I thought, there's a lot to be said here. As you read the totality of this, verse 6 and 7, it's not God's intention for you to have a spirit of timidity, of worry, of fear. And I find Christians walking in that all the time. We're the most timid people that there is. And I mean, we're just scared to open our mouths a lot of times in certain circumstances or situations. And what the Bible's saying is, oh, wait a minute here. If we'll get the flame burning of the Lord Jesus in our hearts, we don't have to walk in that. We don't. We don't have to walk in that timidity, that fear, that I don't know what to do here. We're to walk in power. With love, we're being able to think things through with a sound mind. Some versions say self-discipline. See, we have the ability, if we're self-disciplined enough, to walk in a level of maturity where we are on fire because we have fueled ourselves up. There's a key here that I want to teach us today. You have to activate what's inside of you as you're going to walk with the Lord. There's an activation that has to take place. There's a kindling that has to take place. In the Greek, kindle, stir up, fan into flames. I want you to know in the Greek word, it is in the present tense. It didn't work last Friday. It didn't work a week ago Sunday. The men's retreat was awesome for Saturday and maybe getting up Sunday morning. But you got to understand that fanning into flames is present tense. It's got to happen on a daily basis. It can't just happen every once in a while. We got to keep on kindling. We got to continue stirring. It's not just occasional. How many of you have seen someone on fire for God and then 3 or 4 years later you run into them? How's things going? Where are you going to church? What's that? You know, we're just not going to church. We're not really been doing anything right now. And maybe there was a season where that was you. What I want to do tonight, I want to encourage you with some information that's very important. For Christians to continue to walk the walk, there's got to be a continual stirring. A fire will go out. left unattended unless the wind's blowing. But without fuel being added, a fire will go out. And I want to make sure that we don't have fires that aren't at full burn in the hearts and lives of our people, Christian people. We are called to a proactive life, being proactive, being on the front end, being on the move. Inside of each one here tonight, there are dreams, there are visions, there are goals, there are ambitions, there are desires. That inside of each of us are those things. And I'm always saddened when I talk to people about a dream they once had. Why'd you lose it? Well, life just happened. In the dream, in the vision, in the goal, in the ambition, in the desire, there's a direction that God's planted in you. And I think that this is an important message, obviously, for young people to get at an early age. But wherever you are tonight, I want to stir that up. And I want the word to do that. See, within each of us, we all have desires. Now, here's the thing. Some of them are different. They're different desires, but it's all from the same God that's been placed in you. So many live life just by taking what life gives them, and then you never end up where life could have taken you. We just, wherever it's at, I've always enjoyed talking. It's fun for me to talk and communicate through the avenue of talking. Now, here's the thing. I do really good when I have an attentive audience. One-on-one, whatever. If I got someone who I know wants to hear what I have to say or is interested in what I have to say, I mean, it's... And I know sometimes I got to back up and go, okay, they're nodding and smiling, but they're trying to find an exit strategy from you right now. I mean, that will enter my mind every once in a while. But most of the time, I'm on the other side. Hey, they're hearing what they're nodding. I'm just going to keep talking. And I just keep going and going and going. And so I enjoy communicating. Now, it's kind of intimidating with this many people. I mean, there are times I'm like, but I've overcome that to a degree. And I'm able to stand up here and just talk and visit. And I've got to watch my time or we'll go for 3 or 4 hours. And I just looked at Jeannie and she just said, yeah, I won't go that long tonight, I promise. But do you realize that if some of you were to stand right here and do what I'm doing, you would be in a state of panic? Amen. I don't know if I can handle it. I just don't know. Well, that's because that wasn't placed in you. That area of desire, that it's not a desire, but it's a desire for me to communicate the word from the avenue that I communicate it. And so that desire is there. But do you realize that there are times I got to fan that in? I mean, it's not every day I get to preach again. You wouldn't believe when you're preaching how fast Wednesday and Sunday comes around. There's got to be a daily fanning that thing. I've got to, and there are times when I'm not paying attention to the fire and the desire that I'm not where I need to be. And I've got to spend hours, and I'll stay up late and get up early on Sunday and just try to fan and fan and fan. And God always comes through, but sometimes it was in my weakness. And I want him to be able to be used through my weakness. If you were at the men's retreat, just a little word there. I want him to be used through my weaknesses, but I don't want to not do what God's called me to do. See, there's an element of what I've got to do to make sure that the fire's burning. Why aren't we seeing that a lot in the Christian lives? A fire, a desire, an excitement for the things of God. We're not seeing it. Well, here's why. Because we're not fanning that flame. Now, I want you to know that it's there. God placed that in you. It's a part of who you are. It's there. There's a glow. There's something there. I thought the fire was out at camp, but there was something there. And when fuel was added, I'm telling you, in each and every one of you, if you go, man, I'm just worn out, there is something there. And that something is the Holy Spirit of God that is in you. And he just, come on, help fan this thing and let's get this where it needs to be. As I was thinking about this, I was reminded of something I'm getting ready to teach in apologetics at Leaders Academy. And it's just a thing that always has amazed me. The second law of thermodynamics, if you've ever studied any of this, it states that all energy exchanges. If no energy enters or leaves a closed system, the potential energy of the state will always be less than that of the initial state. And this is referred to as entropy. Has anybody ever heard of entropy? Okay, don't let me lose you because I won't be here long. Some of y'all are going, oh, great. Why don't you save that for Leaders Academy? Entropy, it's the degree of disorder in any system. Energy is transformed from one form to another, and every time it's transferred, some is lost. Some of the energy is lost. As energy is transformed and it's lost, energy decreases, and the disorder in the system increases. And I use the example when I'm teaching Leaders Academy that I don't care how many times you do this, every time you drop a perfect stacked deck of cards out of an airplane at 10,000 feet, it don't matter how many times you do it, by the time it hits the ground, it's not going to be a perfect order. Well, let's try it again. Maybe it will be this time. Let's try. No, because everything goes from order to disorder. Everything goes from order to disorder unless another form of energy comes in. And so I always think about this. I use that illustration, but I think, what if a hang glider's up there? And a guy's on it, and he goes around and gets every card. You go, that couldn't happen either. Well, this is my story. And they get every card, and by the time they get down, they place, well, that's fine. That could happen. But it could only happen because the energy of something else came back in and produced order. See, it takes, so for us to just think that the universe just all of a sudden came into order is ridiculous. It goes against the law of entropy. All right, so we get that. Let me give some more basic examples. A watch spring. For those of you who don't know what that is, watches used to be made that you would wind up. Really? Yeah, they did. You'd wind them up. They didn't take a bat. They'd wind up, and there was a spring in there that would allow that watch to keep time. And that spring had energy in it that would move the dial of the clock. And after a certain amount of time, that wind up of that spring loses its wind. I don't know if that's the way you say it, but loses its spring ability, and there's no more energy. Well, how do you make that thing work again? You take energy, and you put back into it. You wind it back up. But it takes a continual putting in. A car that runs out of gas. Anybody here ran out of gas ever? If you run out of gas or you run your tractor out of diesel, it takes a lot of energy to get that thing going, and someone sometimes smarter than you. But you have to get gas into a car. And if you run out, you're going to have to walk 10 miles, get to a gas station, pay, and put gas in a can, and walk back out or get a ride, and you're going to have to put something in it for it to go. See, it's got to be energy put out to make that happen. Stuff wears out. When you hear of a professional sports player that's in their 60s, oh, you don't hear of that, do you? Stuff wears out. See, that you don't hear of that because stuff wears out. And unless you constantly do things to keep it going without putting in new energy, there's eventually death. A new bike, you buy a new bike, you buy a new car, and you set it out for 50 years just outside and see if it looks better or at the same state it was in the day you bought it. It's not going to look the same. Clothes wear out. I don't know why, but I can tell you what happens with all of my clothes. They get a hole right here. I don't know why, but they do. My jeans, I got two or three places where they get holes, and I'm not going to point to those. But that happens. They wear out. They never look as good as when I first bought them. It seems that I'm, or BJ or somebody, is constantly going and filling up these 5-gallon containers we had. Well, I had this great idea, and for gas. We had to get it because, gas has got to be used here all the time. And it's a pain just to go up every time you need 5 gallons, so we keep a bunch of gallons there. Well, I had this great idea, and I got this tank, and we fixed it up and put some money in it, and it held 75 gallons. You know what that thing ran out to? Putting in takes work. Come on, hear me tonight. Putting in takes work. It's never convenient. It takes time. It costs a bunch. Many of us are sitting on the side of the interstate of life. Come on, follow me here tonight. We're sitting on the side of the interstate of life just watching everyone else zoom by and we're out of gas. Come on. I don't want your life to be looked at like, wow, they're doing a lot for the kingdom. Wow, they're doing a lot. There shouldn't just be 5 or 10 people buying $5 gift cards. Come, we all got to do the work necessary to make Sunday night a success. Well, I just don't know. I haven't even decided if I'm coming yet. When did that become an option for people when they say, well, I'm committed to the things of God? Because I promise you a lot of people be committed to going trick-or-treating. Pastor, I didn't come here to get my toes stepped on. Every time you're here, you ought to get your toes stepped on. See, there ought to be something every time you hear the word that makes us go, oh, man, I need to fan that area. That's an area that needs to come. See, trucks run on diesel or gas, some on propane. Solar vehicles have a battery-powered hybrid vehicle. I mean, what is it that you run on? What is it that you run on? The just shall live by faith. And faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. All right, so when we start thinking about that, well, I know about reading the Bible, and I just, you want to live an on-fired Christian life, and the Bible's not a part of that. Come on, fanning into flame means you got to find some time. What is inspiring you for life? What's inspiring you? The fuel that you put in to motion and to move your life. Then see, God's already put something there, but you got to fuel it up. You got to fuel it up. You got a brand new car, but aren't you ever driving now? Aren't you doing anything? No, it just sits there. I don't have any gas. A brand new car that's just going to sit there. No, you're going to find a way to put fuel in that thing. Come on, we got a brand new life in Jesus, and we're not fanning it out and getting after it. And that's where I find the state of the church. Come on, let's fan this flame. Let's fan this into something bigger than where we're at. Inspiration is a fuel that has to be used to produce in your life. I want tonight to talk about some things that you can use to inspire yourself. I'm inspired to do something before I do it. Come on, really, before you do anything in life, there's got to be inspiration. I'm inspired to do something. Many ladies say, I've just lost the inspiration to clean my house. Well, after it stacks up so far, somebody's going to finally get inspired. Who is it that gets inspired in your house? Don't jab anybody. Somebody got inspired to do the cleaning, and they did it. Parents, how many times have you had to inspire your children? Wouldn't it be nice if they could just do that on their own? That's your job by the time they're out of the house. Come on, by the time, parents, come on, really. You're the one that only and ever inspires that child. What are they going to do at 18? They better get some inspiration on their own. Well, where are they going to go? They're going to be living at your house and they're 70. How old are you? Those with no inspiration have an empty tank and they don't travel. And tonight, I want us to be on the move. I want us to be moving. Those with no inspiration just sit and watch everybody else that's full of inspiration go by. And I want you to be inspired tonight. You got to have something to fuel. And that something, the gift of God that's in you, has got to be fueled. 1 Samuel chapter 30. As you're turning there, I'll give you just a little background here. David and his men had been out in battle, and they came back to Ziklag and found out that the Amalekites had burned it to the ground. And they took all the women and children captive that were there. And here's what it says in verse 3 of chapter 30, 1 Samuel. When David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, they wept until they could weep no more. David's two wives, Ahinoam from Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal from Carmel, were among those captured. David was now in great danger, because all his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters, and they began to talk of stoning him. If you ever have someone talking about stoning you, you're going to have to fan into a flame something, because you're going to need some help. They're talking about stoning you. What's it say? But David found strength in the Lord. Tonight, I want you to know that your strength that you can have can come from the Lord. Your part in it is putting yourself in a position to be on fire. That's what you're doing here tonight. Praise God. You're here. I want to burn brighter. I want to be brighter. I want to be more involved. I want to be more of what God's called me to do. Jude, verse 20 says, build yourself up in the most holy faith. The Bible says to build yourself up. Build yourself up. Oh God, please build me up. Let me just tell you, nowhere in Scripture is that what only happens. He said, build yourself up. What are you going to build yourself up in? In Him. And He will give you the strength to make it. But if you don't build yourself up, you're going to be sitting there defeated, frustrated. Build yourself up on your most holy faith. What's your faith in? My faith in God. How did you get that? By reading the Word. And as I build myself up, then I know that I'm building myself up in the Lord, and then I'm more than a conqueror. See, then I'm willing to go out and take on the things that are frustrating my life. Three ways to keep getting fuel. Keep getting fuel. Keep getting fuel and keep stirring it up so you can fuel yourself. Keep yourself inspired. This is the inspiration. Number one, invest in inspiration. Invest in inspiration. Well, Pastor, what do you mean? Investment takes, there's a four-letter word that's not evil, but there's just not enough of it. I mean, I don't know if you've ever asked God, why didn't you make 28 hours in a day? I'd be a lot better off with 28, because you'd mess that one up too. I mean, that's pretty much what He told me. God, I need 28 hours to get everything done I need done. But you got 24. And if you had 40 in one day, we'd mess that up. Here's what you got to do. You got to recognize what you're investing your time in. What is your time invested in? Time takes out of your day. It does. I mean, you've only got a certain amount. The gas station is never where I want to go. I just don't want to go there. Therefore, I have ran out of gas. I'll get it later. But you got to go. I can't tell you the amount of trips I've been on. And I'm like praying that the next exit's got gas. Oh God, please. We got to make it. I've heard people tell the story of, I prayed and God just let me have supernatural gas in my car. That does work. I've seen it happen. I get that, or I believe you. But you do that every time. Where's your part in that? So why didn't you think at the last place you were at to fill up? I've got to get gas in my car, I've got to have money. To get money, I got to have a job. See, there's an investment that is providing the direction I'm going. So there's an investment that makes. And not only with time, but then there's effort. I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have time to listen to teaching tapes. I work late on Wednesday nights. I can't be in church. I just don't have time. It's an investment to come to church. I get that. You realize when you're not here, it's an even bigger investment to find the time to listen to what was taught on Wednesday nights. But there's a lot of people said, well, I see so-and-so misses a lot. Yeah, and I get that, and we're not to compare ourselves with people, but you know what? Every time they miss, they're coming back telling me what they just heard. I'll use Matt Goldsmith as an example. He calls me or texts me and says, man, Pastor, that was a great word. Well, he's got a job that takes him out of town, but you know he's as plugged into Wednesday nights as anybody? He's going to hear everything that's said. Why? Because it's important that he puts forth the time and the effort to invest in his inspiration. I want to fuel my life. What are you doing to fuel your life? It takes time out of your schedule to read a Bible. It takes you purchasing a Bible. It takes you giving up something else to do that. There's an effort that has to be given to keep your machine running. There's an effort that's got to be given to keep you on fire for God. So it's just got to be there. There's never, a great move of God without a great investment. I've studied, I got some stuff that was given to me from one of our former LA students on the great revivals. And I read through a whole bunch of that. And do you know that every great revival was preceded by a bunch of people, or for sure some, that were praying and fasting for upwards of a year or 2 years before that great revival? Boy, if you could get the church on fire to the point that they were fanning into flames, you'd see a great move of God. You'd see a great move of God. But it's going to take people investing in inspiration. Are you hearing me tonight? Time, effort, and means. You got to have the means. Second thing, you got to pursue inspiration. Pursue inspiration. Once you have the fuel in place, you got to have a direction to move it to accomplish your goal. What is it that keeps you motivated to get the fuel? It's the pursuit. What are you pursuing? I have an app on my phone that's called Gas Buddy. I don't know if any of y'all have it. Hopefully some of y'all will get it tonight because it's a really cool app. Wherever you are in your travels, it tells you where the nearest gas station is, and it tells you the best price. And do you know that right on the interstate is not always the best price? But you have a little Gas Buddy on your phone, and it says a quarter mile down you can get it for like 20, 30 cents less. I'll drive that quarter mile because I'll figure out the calculate. That saved me money. But then I had to make a time and, oh, okay, it's worth it. And then I put all this together and I realized what I just did is I pursued. You're going to have to set up a pursuit of inspiration. You may have time, you may have money, you may have effort there, but it takes a pursuit to make it happen. You got to search where you're going, what you're going to get. And it's a fueling up that is a whole totality of things. Proverbs 27, verse 17 says, and you know this verse, iron sharpens iron. What friendships are you pursuing? Now think about this. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. You got to make a pursuit of inspiration, and you got to spend time with people who are sharpening you. You do. They're taking you to the next level. See, I choose to be around people who inspire me. I think that's really important. I find a common interest. And when I have a common interest, I spend time with them. I find something we have in common, something that inspires me to go further than I would have ever went by myself. I would have never got there without that. See, too many people are spending time with people who are letting the air out of their tires every time you turn the corner. They're not helping you go anywhere. And you're just continually seeing their tires get flattened and they're draining you, and it's taking double the energy. Well, what happened is you lost your pursuit. In your pursuit. One of the things I love about this church is I find out that on Thursday night, on Friday night, on Sunday afternoon, something, people are pursuing friendships within people who are like-minded, so we'll fan each other and we're helping make this thing better and better and better. Well, how does that happen? It's a pursuit of inspiration. Another thing you can do to pursue inspiration is books. What book are you reading? I used to get so frustrated with Stephen Sexton. Every time I'd see him, and I'm going to tell him I talked about him tonight, his first question within the first, one of the first questions he had within us talking, he said, what book are you reading? You ever had that said to you, Adam? What book are you reading? What book are you reading? And if I wasn't reading a book, I'd be fighting, going, which one are you going to tell him you read last? What he was saying is the present tense. Books will stir it up in the present tense. What book are you reading? Well, I'm reading the Bible. Okay, good. I mean, that's obviously the first one you need to be reading. But there are a lot of great people that can inspire you through different books. We have a whole bunch of books that they read in Leaders Academy. And I'm sure the Leaders Academy students say, oh, yeah, it's a pain. Or they can say, no, I'm on a pursuit here. And I know that through these books, I'm going to be somewhere where I wasn't when I came here. That I'm on a pursuit. And so that pursuit is going to inspire me through the books. Tapes, CDs. Oh, tapes are outdated. CDs. Nobody listens to tapes anymore. I've been just as bad to say 8-tracks. CDs. CDs. Or I don't, you know, the cars now don't even, a lot of them don't even come with CD players. All right, so MP4. I don't know what's MP3. Is it four? Anyway, digital. See, MP3. You got to have something that you can plug in. There's got to be energy put in. There's got to be a pursuit for you to hear things that were happening. Do you realize that we recorded the whole men's seminar? I'm just telling you, it was phenomenal. The teaching that was there, I can't go back and get you the food. You missed out on that one. But we got some pictures of it, but that probably won't fuel you much. But we got the teaching tapes there, the teaching CDs from that. If you weren't able to be there, I want to encourage you. Get a copy of those. Talk to BJ and say, hey, we got a sign-up sheet in the back. They're already here tonight, right? We've got them in the back. Pick up and make some time to fill yourself up. Pursue the inspiration that was available Sunday. Man, it was phenomenal. And I'm telling you, there were some things in there that'll change your life. I know a couple of the things that were spoken was directly from God for me. I was there hearing, I was receiving, and I'm like, I left there empowered, excited about what was. Praise God, you're going to have to pursue that so that it fans into what God's put in you. Growth weekends, life building retreats, women's retreats. You got to pursue fueling yourself. Are you hearing me tonight? You need gas. You got to have a plan to pursue before. I mean, if you're going to pursue and you start getting on the pursuit, the next thing you do is you get a plan. And that's the third thing tonight. You get a plan. After you invest, after you pursue, you need a plan. Once you get the pursuit of what you're going to get, you've got to devise a plan to get there. That's where in a car, a GPS comes in. You know, I don't know if you've got a Garmin and you haven't updated it in 2 years. I've done this and you're like, oh, that's not right. It's telling me to turn and that's not even a road. Well, in 2 years, a lot of things change. So I've started realizing that the phone has a better direction system. If you got a smartphone and you get smart enough to figure it out, that phone will update you on where there's blockage, traffic block, there's wrecks, it's real time. And I get a lot more success by using something that's in the present than something that's in the past. And so this GPS will get me where I need to go because I've got a plan that I got in front of me that's going to tell me how to get where I just saw my little gas buddy told me to go. You ever heard someone say, well, I'll cross that bridge when I get to it? That will get you in trouble oftentimes. That will get you in a lot of trouble a lot of times. Just taking life as it comes with no plan. Well, here's the thing. I want either me or someone else to have crossed that bridge 100 times before I get to it. See, there's enough people that's been across that, and if it held them up, it'll hold me up. Well, I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. That's probably not a good idea. One of my favorite lines in my childhood with my friends is, you try it first. You try it first. Here, you try this first. What was I saying? I was saying that I don't want to be the guinea pig and I don't want to be the failure. I'll let somebody else make that mistake. Now, there are times you have to go out. I get that when God calls you. But don't just take life as it comes. God has designed a plan for your life. Get hooked up and plan for inspiration. See, gas that you put in gets the same miles per gallon running full as it does empty. The miles per gallon don't change. There's no benefit to seeing how close you can get to empty. Well, I'm running on Sunday's message. What Sunday? Well, it's 5 weeks ago. That ain't gonna work. You're getting close to empty. You better fill up. Plan your stops on your trips you're taking. Several years ago, we went snow skiing with Dave and Teresa Stone. We had a really good time out in Colorado several years ago. And I didn't get frustrated. I just kind of laughed at him. Every time we'd stop, Dave would have to fuel up. And we just fueled up. And the reason we stopped so much is when you travel with a bunch of people, somebody inevitably has got to go to the restroom. Every 30 minutes to an hour, hour and a half, whatever. And so we're stopping to use the restroom, and we're like, okay. Well, every time we just fueled up 30 minutes ago, and somebody else has to use the restroom. Why are we stopping again? Dave said, well, I just don't want to take a chance on getting on empty. And I've never forgot that. I've thought about that bunches of times, that he's not going to be caught empty. And I thought, that's the life a Christian should walk in. I don't want to be caught on empty. I want to be full at all times. I'm ready for the long haul. Plan your trips. I plan in advance when I'm going to this retreat. There's a women's retreat coming up next week. Some people try to start planning the day of. Let me just encourage you. Get planned up for this thing. There's a ministries retreat every January. And if you're serving in any capacity in the church, you need to be there. Really? Yeah, but you better plan for it now. Because it'll get close. You'll be like, well, I just don't know. What are you planning for? I'm planning for the fan and in the flame. I'm planning to stir it up. I'm going to be ready to serve. I'm going to be ready to do what God's called me to do. You got to plan for inspiration. You got to plan time to read the word. You got to plan time to pray. And you've all heard this. If you fail to plan, then what you're planning on is failing. We got to plan. We got to plan for inspiration. We got to be proactive in our inspiration. See, stirring it up takes work. Are you hearing that tonight? Stirring it up takes work. Invest, pursue, plan, especially our young people that are hearing me tonight. We get all excited about where we're going and we forget to put fuel in. Don't get so excited about your pursuit in the things of God that you forget the other necessities. See, there's work to be done on our part. How far are you planning for what God has for you? Are you planning for your kids turning 18? See, God's placed them in your care. Are they where you planned on them being at 18? There's a planning that has to take place. Are you taking time? It's not going to be convenient. Just know this. Nothing happens that's great out of just that was convenient. It just don't happen. See, you got to do it to get anywhere. You got to do all the planning. You got to do all the pursuit. You got to do all the investment. Come on, church. He gave you dreams. He gave you visions. He gave you goals. And tonight, I just thought it would be really good for us to get stronger and stronger by realizing there's a fanning that has to take place. There's a stirring up that has to take place. And we have a part in this. God, please just take me to the next level. He said very clearly that you've got to build yourself up. Build yourself up. That's what you're doing here tonight. What are you doing tomorrow? What are you doing on Friday? What are you doing on Saturday? Well, I'm just waiting for Sunday. And then Sunday gets here and something else comes up. What I'm telling you, if you're not careful, you won't be strong enough with your fire that when you're needing to be strong and bold with your family, you're timid because you didn't fan in anything. See, that's where we got to be. I pray that you'll be able to communicate this to your kids. Because our young people down there need us. Come on, they need us. They need us.
For more information about all that is happening here at Christian Ministries Church, visit cmchurch.net or like us on Facebook, Christian Ministries Church, Southwest Missouri. Have a very blessed day.